No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 21st day of July. Welcome, everyone. It is so good to be here with you, and I am so glad that no matter what your story is, no matter where you've been in life, and no matter truly where you are right now, whatever you are in, that you feel the weight of, that you may feel the shame of, whatever reason that brought you here, maybe it's your own desperation for God. You don't know any other thing or person to turn to but God and His Word. I am so glad that you're here. And I pray that as you're here, your heart will be open to whatever it is that He wants to say and do and speak to you, do in you, do through you, among you. If you are just like, I don't know why I'm here. It's no accident. It is no accident that you're here. I hope you will stay long enough to allow the Word of God to speak to you. We are in an essential book of the Bible. It's not a super popular book of the Bible, to be honest with you. I think a lot of people don't understand it. They kind of get lost at this point of the Old Testament. So many prophets, it sounds like they're saying the same thing. We have to understand the context of what is happening. Otherwise, we think that God is just a God that welcomes us back at every turn, that we decide we want to walk back. And while that's not wrong, it's only partially right. We are welcomed back every time with a heart of repentance. And that is the part that we cannot forget. The book of Hosea it's quite involved. There is a lot here. We started it yesterday. We're going to read it today, and then we're going to try to break it down as best as we can in a short amount of time. For now, we're going to dive in. Today, we're reading Hosea chapters 8 through 14. And this week, we are reading the Good News Translation, Hosea chapter 8. The Lord says, "Sound the alarm. Enemies are swooping down on my land like eagles. My people have broken the covenant I made with them and have rebelled against my teaching. Even though they call me their God and claim that they are my people and that they know me, they have rejected what is good. Because of this, their enemies will pursue them. My people chose kings, but they did it on their own. They appointed leaders, but without my approval. They took their silver and gold and made idols for their own destruction. I hate the gold bull worshipped by the people of the city of Samaria. I am furious with them. How long will it be before they give up their idolatry? An Israelite craftsman made the idol, and it is not a god at all. The gold bull worshipped in Samaria will be smashed to pieces. When they sow the wind, they will reap a storm. A field of grain that doesn't ripen can never produce any bread. But even if it did, foreigners would eat it up. Israel has become like any other nation and is as useless as a broken pot. Stubborn as wild donkeys, the people of Israel go their own way. They have gone off to seek help from Assyria and have paid other nations to protect them. But now I am going to gather them together and punish them. Soon they will writhe in pain when the emperor of Assyria oppresses them. The more altars the people of Israel build for removing sin, the more places they have for sinning. I write down countless teachings for the people, but they reject them as strange and foreign. They offer sacrifices to me and eat the meat of the sacrifices, but I, the Lord, am not pleased with them. And now I will remember their sin and punish them for it. I will send them back to Egypt. The people of Israel have built palaces, but they have forgotten their own maker. The people of Judah have built fortified cities, but I will send fire that will burn down their palaces and their cities. People of Israel, stop celebrating your festivals like pagans. You have turned away from your God and have been unfaithful to him. All over the land you have sold yourselves like prostitutes to the god Baal and have loved the grain you thought he paid you with. But soon you will not have enough grain and olive oil, and there will be no wine. The people of Israel will not remain in the Lord's land, but will have to go back to Egypt and will have to eat forbidden food in Assyria. In those foreign lands, they will not be able to make wine offerings to the Lord or bring their sacrifices to him. Their food will defile everyone who eats it, like food eaten at funerals. It will be used only to satisfy their hunger. None of it will be taken as an offering to the Lord's temple. And when the time comes for the appointed festivals in honor of the Lord, what will they do then? When the disaster comes and the people are scattered, the Egyptians will gather them up, gather them for burial there at Memphis. Their treasures of silver and the places where their homes once stood will be overgrown with weeds and thorn bushes. The time for punishment has come, the time when people will get what they deserve. When that happens, Israel will know it. This prophet, you say, is a fool. This inspired man is insane. You people hate me so much because your sin is so great. God has sent me as a prophet to warn his people Israel. Yet wherever I go, you try to trap me like a bird. Even in God's temple, the people are the prophet's enemies. They are hopelessly evil in what they do, just as they were at Gibeah. God will remember their sin and punish them for it. The Lord says, "When I first found Israel, it was like finding grapes growing in the desert. When I first saw your ancestors, it was like seeing the first ripe figs of the season. But when they came to Mount Peor, they began to worship Baal and soon became as disgusting as the gods they loved. Israel's greatness will fly away like a bird, and there will be no more children born to them, no more women pregnant, no more children conceived. But even if they did bring up children, I would take them away and not leave one alive. When I abandon these people, terrible things will happen to them. Lord, I can see their children being hunted down and killed. What shall I ask you to do to these people? Make their women barren. Make them unable to nurse their babies." The Lord says, "All their evil doing began in Gilgal. It was there that I began to hate them, and because of the evil they have done, I will drive them out of my land. I will not love them anymore. All their leaders have rebelled against me. The people of Israel are like a plant whose roots have dried up and which bears no fruit. They will have no children, but even if they did, I would kill the children so dear to them. The God I serve will reject his people because they have not listened to him. They will become wanderers among the nations. The people of Israel were like a grapevine that was full of grapes. The more prosperous they were, the more altars they built, the more productive their land was, the more beautiful they made the sacred stone pillars they worship. The people whose hearts are deceitful must now suffer for their sins. God will break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. These people will soon be saying, "We have no king because we did not fear the Lord. But what could a king do for us anyway?" They utter empty words, make false promises and useless treaties. Justice has become injustice, growing like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. The people who live in the city of Samaria will be afraid and will mourn the loss of the gold bull at Bethaven. They and the priests who serve the idol will weep over it. They will wail when it is stripped of its gold splendor. The idol will be carried off to Assyria as tribute to the great emperor. The people of Israel will be disgraced and put to shame because of the advice they followed. Their king will be carried off like a chip of wood on water. The hilltop shrines of Avon, where the people of Israel worship idols, will be destroyed. Thorns and weeds will grow up over their altars. The people will call out to the mountains, "Hide us," and to the hills, "Cover us." The Lord says, "The people of Israel have not stopped sinning against me since the time of their sin at Gibeah. So at Gibeah, war will catch up with them. I will attack this sinful people and punish them. Nations will join together against them, and they will be punished for their many sins." Israel was once like a well-trained young cow, ready and willing to thresh grain. But I decided to put a yoke on her beautiful neck and to harness her for harder work. I made Judah pull the plow and Israel pull the harrow. I said, "Plow new ground for yourselves, plant righteousness, and reap the blessings that your devotion to me will produce. It is time for you to turn to me, your Lord, and I will come and pour out blessings upon you." But instead, you planted evil and reaped its harvest. You have eaten the fruit produced by your lies. Because you trusted in your chariots and in the large number of your soldiers, war will come to your people, and all your fortresses will be destroyed. It will be like the day when King Shalman destroyed the city of Bethrabel in battle, and mothers and their children were crushed to death. That is what will happen to you, people of Bethel, because of the terrible evil that you have done. As soon as the battle begins, the king of Israel will die. The Lord says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him and called him out of Egypt as my son. But the more I called to him, the more he turned away from me. My people sacrificed to Baal. They burned incense to idols. Yet I was the one who taught Israel to walk. I took my people up in my arms, but they did not acknowledge that I took care of them. I drew them to me with affection and love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. I bent down to them and fed them. They refused to return to me, and so they must return to Egypt, and Assyria will rule them. War will sweep through their cities and break down the city gates. It will destroy my people because they do what they themselves think best. They insist on turning away from me. They will cry out because of the yoke that is on them, but no one will lift it from them. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? Could I ever destroy you as I did Admah, or treat you as I did Zeboim? My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. I will not punish you in my anger. I will not destroy Israel again, for I am God and not a mere human being. I, the Holy One, am with you. I will not come to you in anger. My people will follow me when I roar like a lion at their enemies. They will hurry to me from the west. They will come from Egypt as swiftly as birds and from Assyria like doves. I will bring them to their homes again. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord says, the people of Israel have surrounded me with lies and deceit, and the people of Judah are still rebelling against me, the faithful and holy God. Everything that the people of Israel do from morning to night is useless and destructive. Treachery and acts of violence increase among them. They make treaties with Assyria and do business with Egypt. The Lord has an accusation to bring against the people of Judah. He is also going to punish Israel for the way her people act. He will pay them back for what they have done. Their ancestor Jacob struggled with his twin brother Esau while the two of them were still in their mother's womb. When Jacob grew up, he fought against God. He fought against an angel and won. He wept and asked for a blessing. And at Bethel, God came to our ancestor Jacob and spoke with him. This was the Lord God Almighty. The Lord is the name by which he is to be worshipped. So now, descendants of Jacob, trust in your God and return to him. Be loyal and just and wait patiently for your God to act. The Lord says, the people of Israel are as dishonest as the Canaanites. They love to cheat their customers with false scales. We are rich, they say. We've made a fortune, and no one can accuse us of getting rich dishonestly. But I, the Lord your God, who led you out of Egypt, I will make you live in tents again, as you did when I came to you in the desert. I spoke to the prophets and gave them many visions, and through the prophets I gave my people warnings. Yet idols are worshipped in Gilead, and those who worship them will die. Bulls are sacrificed in Gilgal, and the altars there will become piles of stone in the open fields. Our ancestor, Jacob, had to flee to Mesopotamia, where, in order to get a wife, he worked for another man and took care of his sheep. The Lord sent a prophet to rescue the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt and to take care of them. The people of Israel have made the Lord bitterly angry. They deserve death for their crimes. Their Lord will punish them for the disgrace they have brought on him. In the past, when the tribe of Ephraim spoke, the other tribes of Israel were afraid. They looked up to Ephraim, but the people sinned by worshiping Baal, and for this they will die. They still keep on sinning by making metal images to worship, idols of silver, designed by human minds, made by human hands. And then they say, offer sacrifices to them. How can anyone kiss those idols, idols in the shape of bulls? And so these people will disappear like morning mist, like the dew that vanishes early in the day. They will be like chaff which the wind blows from the threshing place, like smoke from a chimney. The Lord says, I am the Lord your God who led you out of Egypt. You have no God but me. I alone am your Savior. I took care of you in a dry desert land. But when you entered the good land, you became full and satisfied, and then you grew proud and forgot me. So I will attack you like a lion. Like a leopard, I will lie in wait along your path. I will attack you like a bear that has lost her cubs, and I will tear you open. Like a lion, I will devour you on the spot and will tear you to pieces like a wild animal. I will destroy you, people of Israel. Then who can help you? You asked for a king and for leaders, but how can they save the nation? In my anger, I have given you kings, and in my fury, I have taken them away. Israel's sin and guilt are on record, and the records are safely stored away. Israel has a chance to live, but is too foolish to take it. Like a child about to be born, who refuses to come out of the womb. I will not save this people from the world of the dead or rescue them from the power of death. Bring on your plagues, death. Bring on your destruction, world of the dead. I will no longer have pity for this people. Even though Israel flourishes like weeds, I will send a hot east wind from the desert, and it will dry up their springs and wells. It will take away everything of value. Samaria must be punished for rebelling against me. Her people will die in war. Babies will be dashed to the ground, and pregnant women will be ripped open. Return to the Lord your God, people of Israel. Your sin has made you stumble and fall. Return to the Lord, and let this prayer be your offering to him. Forgive all our sins and accept our prayer, and we will praise you as we have promised. Assyria can never save us, and war horses cannot protect us. We will never again say to our idols that they are our God. O Lord, you show mercy to those who have no one else to turn to. The Lord says, I will bring my people back to me. I will love them with all my heart. No longer am I angry with them. I will be to the people of Israel like rain in a dry land. They will blossom like flowers. They will be firmly rooted like the trees of Lebanon. They will be alive with new growth and beautiful like olive trees. They will be fragrant like the cedars of Lebanon. Once again, they will live under my protection. They will grow crops of grain and be fruitful like a vineyard. They will be as famous as the wine of Lebanon. The people of Israel will have nothing more to do with idols. I will answer their prayers and take care of them. Like an evergreen tree, I will shelter them. I am the source of all their blessings. May those who are wise understand what is written here, and may they take it to heart. The Lord's ways are right, and righteous people live by following them. But sinners stumble and fall because they ignore them. This concludes the book of Hosea. Yesterday and today, we hear some of the harshest, most poignant, plainly spoken words from God through his prophet Hosea. In the Old Testament, it's such an important book. There's so much here. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to do the book of Hosea justice that it deserves. Hosea was a prophet chosen by God to live out in his own life, in his own marriage, what God was experiencing through the Israelite people. Adultery. Literal adultery. Unfaithfulness. A literal breaking of a covenant entered in by two people by giving oneself away to another man, another woman. This is the depiction of how God chooses to not only articulate, but demonstrate what a people that were once in a covenantal relationship with God chose to walk away from, chose themselves to cheat on. And yes, this applies to a specific people in a specific place in a specific time. But if we do not, cannot identify our own selves, our own hearts, our own choices, the similarities in what the children of Israel, the Israelites, have done to God in the same way that we do it. The only thing that's changed is the day and the world that we live in. We do the same things. And this book that we just started yesterday and finished today, we should understand clearly now in the scripture that says that God hates divorce and not use it for shame when someone chooses to leave a marriage where a covenant has been broken, where one person is completely unwilling to look at the marriage, look at their own actions and change. Instead, it's held to stay in control, to stay in a marriage that obviously has some real issues and problems, but that can only be worked out when both people, both parties, are willing to look at the problems in the marriage. And the issue usually is one party in the marriage ultimately thinks that they're God, that they're the one that's not wrong, that is perfect. God's position in this covenantal relationship with the Israelites is that he has given his word. He has remained faithful. He has done exactly what he said, and he expected the Israelites to do exactly as they promised. And they have taken advantage of the relationship. They have allowed their pride, their arrogance, their blind eyes, their deception, the secrets that they think they're keeping from God, their mixture of following what everybody else is doing, giving themselves away while thinking that they're right. And in their rightness, they become self-righteous. God is heartbroken. In fact, we hear his range of emotions in this book. He is angry. He is rightfully angry. And he is just that he will keep his word. And he is brokenhearted. And even at the end of the book of Hosea, with all that Hosea has to do to bring his wife Gomer back, but not until he experiences every possible emotion of betrayal, of heartache, of deception, of unsafety, mistrust. Even then, at the end of this book, God promises he will do what only he can do. I will bring my people back to me. I will love them with all my heart. This is one of the saddest books I have read so far. To hear the words of the people entered into covenant with God, to hear their words, to see the deception that they're living in, to hear the actions, and to see myself in this story time and time again, and to hear the heart of God, it shakes me. It rattles me, because we can say all of the right things and we can come back. We can come back as many times as we want to, but until there's a change of heart, until there's a complete change in heart to turn these thoughts and these actions into a different direction, we will continuously repeat the same patterns over and over and over again, and walk away and come back and walk away and say, where was God? Where were you, God, when I needed you? And then come back when we need something. Until there's a change of heart, I did this. I have sinned against you. Until we can hear chapter 6, verse 10, I have seen a horrible thing in Israel. My people have defiled themselves by worshiping idols. This is what we do to ourselves. This is not a them problem inflicting their ways on us. It is a us problem. It is a me problem that my heart does not quite get what I'm hearing in my brain, that my heart is still choosing what my own desires want. I am still choosing my own way. We have to understand how it happened, why it happened, how we allowed this to happen. What were the circumstances? Yes, I was in this situation where I allowed this person to influence my decision, but at the end of the day, it was my decision and I chose. We get to choose the condition of our heart, what we reach for, who we reach for, and the ways that we reach that are unpleasing, that are damaging to this relationship that we're in with God. It's not just knowing about Him. It's not knowing the right things about Him and then celebrating the things of God. We love a celebration. We love a party. We love a good time. It is relationship, doing the hard work that requires something sacrificially from us to be in relationship with God, just as we are in relationship with our spouse, meaning we forsake all others. We lay down our lives every day, which means we have to lay down things that we want that please us. It's a foundational question I'm learning in therapy. You're not asking a question of, is this good for me to do in this relationship? It's, is this good for the relationship? And if not, what is the right choice to choose for the benefit of this relationship right now? I chased big things to feel like I was doing something substantial for the kingdom of God. I was in the wrong pursuit, chasing big things, neglecting my family, neglecting the most essential epicenter of my being, the people that God gave me, that I chose relationship with. It would now devastate me to think that something I chose, that I wanted myself, that was a selfish desire, would break the heart of the people that I love the most in this life. But it would further devastate me now to know that something I chose would break the heart of the God that I claim to love above all others, the God that I claim to serve above all others, the one that I have declared that I will have no other gods above, the God that I claim that I trust you daily, I depend on you daily, I need you in every area of my life. Until I want something more than I want you, until I look for something to fill the emptiness instead of you, until I want to follow what the masses are saying is godly, even though it doesn't line up with Scripture, more than I want you. I can't pray, lead me into all truth, and keep secrets in the dark, out of shame, out of fear, because nothing is hidden from God. So this book today of Hosea, I hope it challenges you in the same way that it challenges me. Jesus, Almighty God, Father, Lord, Master, our Savior, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Mighty God. I have no words to pray today. See my heart here, God. Make me pure, holy, righteous before you. Come do whatever you need to. I will give you thanks and praise. I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.